Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. We'll continue in our study in Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. I keep trying to get over into chapter 2 and 3, but we're going to be in Deuteronomy, chapter 1. I want to talk to you about a couple of things, but in particular, I'm going to navigate through the Lord being my helper. I want to get to this man by the name of Caleb. What do you know about Caleb? Know anything about Caleb? Yeah, I know a little bit. Well, that's good. That's good. I would encourage you to find out as much as you can about him. The name Caleb means dog. And like a good dog, he sure did obey his master. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us this pressing thing about Caleb that I want to look at. Eventually, we'll get to it. But I want to just kind of navigate to that point. There is a verse of Scripture in verse number 36 of chapter 1. If you'll stand up, we'll read that verse together. And then back and just kind of bring you to what prompted this statement to be made. And then we'll take a look at a little history that you already know about. But sometimes it's good, as we heard in song tonight, just to be reminded. As a matter of fact, I want to turn to some scripture tonight in the book of Deuteronomy after we read and begin to navigate through about how that is really the main theme of the book. Don't forget. You know what's happening here? There's a group of people that's being addressed. It's not the first generation. It's the second generation. As far as I can tell, they're about 57 years of age and younger. Because God had told the 20-year-olds and above, he said, you're not going into the land. Your carcasses will be in the wilderness. And so if you take 19 years and then you take 38 years in which they wandered in the wilderness and you have 57 years, they're getting this address. And he said, I want you to remember. And so in the first three chapters, Moses, the man of God, is giving some instruction in review of what not to do. Learn from the mistakes of others. It's okay to even learn from your own mistakes. And he said, I don't want you to forget. And as we have already addressed tonight, we are a forgetful people. And so over and again in this letter, this book, we're told, don't forget, remember, remember, remember. And we're just stubborn that way. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to admit it. I get it. But it is what it is. And God said you need to be reminded quite often about the simple things in life. Here in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy in verse number 36, after God had swear in verse number 34, saying, surely there shall not one, verse 35, of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. And so he's addressing this new generation, this younger generation, concerning the older generation that rebelled and would not go in unbelief to the land that God had given them. And he said, you're not going in. Save, verse 36, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon. And to his children, I don't want you to forget that statement. It's very important. So I'm going to give that land to him. But Caleb's not going to be the only one that's going to benefit from the decisions that he made in life. He said, I'm going to reward his children. You see, brethren, our choices and decisions affect other people, in particular, our children. Whether for good, as in Caleb, or for bad in the older generation. Because unfortunately, these that he is addressing has been wandering in the wilderness for a good part of their life. Why? Because they were affected by their father's decisions to live a life of unbelief. And so we need to be cautious, don't we? God help me and God help you. God help us to make good decisions. So well, I want to end up in the right destination, in the right spirit. Well, then let God teach you to make the right decisions. Because if you lean on your flesh, you will not make the proper decisions. There's no good thing in our flesh, brethren. The arm of the flesh will let us down every time. Father, would you help us as we look at these truths that you've presented in your word? Help me to somehow take what you've placed upon my heart and deliver it in a way that would be impressed upon the hearts of the hearer tonight. And above it all, I pray the name of Jesus would be exalted. And I pray that there would be life lessons that would stick to our hearts that we would practice in our life. And may we be reminded once again of the dire importance of proper choices and decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, when Moses began here in the book of Deuteronomy, he said in verse number 1, these be the words which Moses spake. And then if you look at verse number 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, the 11th month of the first day of the month that Moses spake. Verse number 5, it says, on this side of Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare. And so what Moses is doing here, as we shall see in our future studies, is he's telling the people, God has a law for you. God has a way that he wants you to live, and God has a way he expects you to live. You're getting ready to go into a new land, and you're going to have to learn how that God wants you to behave yourself in this new land that God has given you. And so he begins to lay down some laws, some moral and civil and ceremonial and laws in which they are to live by. There's a lot of transition in the book. When Moses begins to teach and address these people, he says, you know, you were with your fathers and you were traveling with them. God brought you out of Egypt. And many of them, as a matter of fact, we'll see tonight, the Lord willing, that Caleb was probably, when Moses left out of Egypt and went on the backside of the desert to get the commission from God to go back and to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, Caleb was probably just being born. And so he may have been 2, 3, 4, possibly 5 years old. And so Caleb had kind of grew up under this man, Moses, and he's watched him and he's followed him and he's seen God use him. But he's seen people turn against him. And he's seen people that would not follow the instruction of God's man. And it cost him. It cost that generation. And Caleb learned some things from that, as we shall see in just a moment. But I want you just to navigate with me for a moment as we go down through here in verse number 8 of chapter 1. God said, behold, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Go get it. Right? And so they come to the place right there on the brink of the promised land. They come to a place that's well known. If you read your Bible much, Kadesh Barnea, if you read your Bible much, you know about this place. It's a place that just, it sticks. It's imprinted in your mind. Because you realize this is a place that a large group of people came, and they were so close to receiving the promise. They were so close to gaining the inheritance. They were so close to fulfilling the promise that God gave to Abraham. They were going to inherit the land of Canaan. I mean, they were right there. They were camped right on the other side of it, right there on the other side of Jordan. They were going to, all they had to do was cross over and take it. God said, go get it. He said over and over again, he said, I've given you this land. Go get what I've given you. And you know what they did. They called them 12 men. And they said, we're going to go spy this land out. And there's no need to spy the land out. God said, I've given it to you. Go take the land. It's your land. I've given it to you. And they said, well, we're going to go spy it out. And so Moses chose 12 men, one out of each tribe. How many of you can name six of those 12? Raise your hand. Six of the 12 men? That's impressive. Oh, the 12 tribes. Oh, okay. No, not quite that easy. Amen. If I'd have said tribes and only two people raised their hand, I would have got real concerned. Think you can name six of the men? Yeah. Most of us can name two. That's what I'm getting at. Somebody said, I can name two. Yeah, I can too. I may could name one or two others. Maybe. There's a reason you can only name two, or most of us can only name two. Because people who don't believe God, people who do not trust His promises, do not stand on His promises, they just don't really make a mark on history, do they? I mean, they just don't. We know about Joshua and Caleb. We know about them. We know that they believed God, and we'll see in just a moment where Joshua and Caleb, there was a price to pay. These people wanted to stone them. They took up stones to stone these two men for simply believing God and saying, hey, we can do this. We'll get to that in just a moment. But there was a group of people who came back, these 10, who said, we can't do it. We cannot do this. Now, God said they could. But these men came back and said, we can't. And so now there's a decision to make. And as a matter of fact, you'll see where the people said in verse number 28 of Deuteronomy chapter number 1, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there, the giants. We can't do this. But now, wait a minute. God said you can. Actually, God said, I've given you this land. Go take it. He actually told them more than once, I will fight the fight. You don't have to fight. I'm going to see that you get this land. And verse number 26, Moses told them, notwithstanding, ye you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Unbelief. Now, unbelief makes people think irrationally, as we shall see later on in the study. It destroys our life. Unbelief. Now, I want you to notice what these people said, and I want to drive something home here if I can, because I doubt that many of us are going to use some of this stuff. All right, so let's look at it in verse number 28. Whither shall we go up? Whither shall we do God's work? Whither shall we obey God's commandment? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. I just don't know too many people in 2022 that's going to say, you know, I can't do God's will. There's a bunch of tall people out there. I mean, you know, big people, giants, and we're grasshoppers. I just don't know too many people that's using that today. Their cities, they're great, and they're walled up to heaven. No. I was thinking about this, how that in our day, the form of unbelief has changed. If we're not careful, and I'm just warning you here, let's be careful not to have these dependencies that we call excuses to why we can't do God's work or do what God has commanded us to do. Now, to these people, this was very real to them. To us, giants or walled cities, that's not a problem to us. But, you know, we would use something like this. Well, you know, preacher, it's those liberals. It's the Biden administration. It's the government. Right? It's the economy. The economy's tanking. It's inflation. We can't build across the street. You do realize there's an economic crash coming. We can't build over there. Now, nobody said that to me. It's just if we're not careful, the devil will be there and he'll be whispering these things. You can't grow a church in 2022. Hey, there's a pandemic. Right? You can't win souls in 2022. They say the churches are emptying out. They're closing the doors. Well, I beg to differ. See, some people, 10 people were looking at obstacles. But 2 people were looking at opportunities. Amen. 10 people were looking at opposition. But 2 people were looking at the God of all power and said, we can do this. Amen. With God, all things are possible. You see, I don't ever want to get to the place in my life to where I doubt that, brethren. I don't ever want to come to the place in my life to where my faith is so weak that I doubt the power of Almighty God. And I don't believe you do either. But we do have to be cautious because it can happen to us. I don't know. I don't know that the scripture really clearly says, but it appears that these people were ready to pass over. Until they sent the 12 spies. And then when the 10 came back, right here's their testimony in verse number 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. I don't want to be the one that would throw the wet blanket on your fire of faith. I don't want to be the one that calls you to question, can God do something in your life? I don't know what you need in your life. You may need the miracle of healing in your life. Can I tell you that God still heals people? Amen. Now, I didn't say Benny Hinn heals people. I said God still heals people. We're not going to line people up down here and the preacher slap them on the head. If we do, amen. If I slap you, you slap me back. Amen. You say, well, you don't have to worry about that. Okay. But brethren, listen, I don't want to be the cause. I want to be strong in faith, and I know you do too. Strong faith gives glory to God, doesn't it? And so we see a group of people, and they were right on the brink of receiving the blessing, and they turned back. You know, one of the saddest scripture in all the Word of God, look at chapter 2, verse number 1. After God told them, you're not going in the land. Now, I'm not going to be able to get into all this tonight, but you ought to read this starting in chapter 1, verse number 40, on down to chapter 2, verse 1. It talks about how that the people come back and they say, oh, wait a minute, wait. We'll go now. And Moses said, no, don't go, because God's not going to go with you. And if you're reading the book of Numbers, you'll see where Moses, God, and the Ark of the Covenant did not go up with them, and they were utterly destroyed. I mean, the Bible says, and look if you would in verse number 44, the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. I mean, they humiliated the people of God. Why? Because the people of God were doing it in the energy of the flesh without God. If you'll notice, the scripture says that they, each one of them in verse number 41, look right in the middle of verse number 41 of chapter 1, it says that, and when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war. I tell you, that's just a bad place to be in. Where you think you can get it done, where we think our wisdom and our way and our technology and we and me and I. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, this thing's about God. It's God's work. Amen. In the moment that we think we can do it without God, we're going to find the same fate that these folks found. And we don't want to do that. We don't have to do that. Chapter 2 says this in verse number 1. And we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. Wow. Look the way it ends. And we can pass Mount Zion, many days. Might be one of the greatest understatements in all the Word of God. About 14,400 days, about 38 years. That's many days. And yet they were that close. They were that close. You want to read something that's possibly just as sad? If you'll back up in chapter 1, look at verse number 45. And you returned and wept before the Lord. You know, they ran up. They said, oh, we're sorry. We meant to say yes, we would go. But it was fake. See, they were not sorry for their sin. They were sorry for the consequences of their sin. And God would not receive it. As a matter of fact, they would not hear what God said. Watch this very carefully now. So God would not hear what they said. You say, well, God will hear me. Well, now, wait a minute now. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity, Psalm 66:18, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I just really feel that we live in a day, and I don't mean you. Now, I don't know what's in folks' heart. Folks watching by live stream, I don't know. But I've talked to a lot of people, and most people's vision of God is like a genie in a bottle. I mean, we've been watching too much fairy tale stuff. Brethren, that's not the God of heaven at all. The God of heaven is holy, harmless, separate from sinners. There's none beside him. God doesn't owe us an explanation. Notice what the scripture says in verse 45. And ye returned and wept before the Lord. But watch it now. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. You know, when you told God, we're not going to listen to what you said, we're going to listen to what these 10 men said, God said, okay, I'm not going to listen to you. You say, well, that's not God. Well, I believe it is. I believe that's what the scripture says. So there's a window of opportunity, and the people missed it. Now, before I move on and get to the positive side of this message, and there is a positive side, I just want to put this warning out there, okay? Perhaps God's brought you to the brink of a great opportunity. And I don't know, maybe in your family, maybe in your personal life, maybe in ministry. I don't know. Trust Him. You can trust God. I want to challenge you. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. God can be trusted. I'm not telling you to trust me. Trust Him. God can be trusted, brethren. There's not a person in here that could stand up and say, God's let me down. But there's not a one that could stand and say that I haven't let God down. Listen, I'm not talking about trusting you. I'm not even talking about trusting me. I'm talking about trusting Him. Trust Him. What is it? Is it a financial situation, a health situation, a family situation, a marital situation, a ministry situation? Trust Him. You can trust God. God can be trusted. Amen, brethren. All God's people ought to say amen. You ought to witness, amen, preacher, amen. We ought to be encouraging one another. Trust Him. Trust Him. God can be trusted, brethren. Amen. These folks, they came right to the brink of a great promise and a great inheritance, and they failed to trust Him. And it closed the window of opportunity. And they never did make it into the land. And their poor decision and choice had a direct impact on their children. They had to wander out there in that wilderness too. Now here they go, and Moses is saying, now here you are again. All right? Here you are again. You've come to this place where your fathers came. Now go over into that land and inherit what God's given you. Right? That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. Well, I want to show you a few scriptures, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about Caleb, and we'll close tonight, okay? So, in order to trust Him, there's a lot that needs to take place. Need to stay in His Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stay in the book now, brethren. Don't let the devil get you out of the book. Don't let the devil get you out of the book. Now, he's working to get you out of the book, okay? I understand that. He's working to get me out of the book. The devil to try to get you out of the Bible. All right, the old flesh sometimes is weary. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. Is that right? That's what the wise man Solomon said, okay? Stay in the book. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Word. Because that's where we get our faith. That's where we get our strength. And those things help develop trust. That's right. And we need to trust Him. Turn to chapter 4 just for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to give you just a few scriptures to help maybe us get an idea and just a little bit. I'm just going to give you a few here of this message that Moses is giving this younger generation, this new generation. He's saying, listen, don't forget. Don't forget. Over and over, remember, look at verse number 9 of chapter number 4. You there? Chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, look at it here, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Don't forget now. Don't forget. Is that what he said? Turn over, if you would, to chapter number 5. Look at chapter 5. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, verse 15. And remember, right? Chapter 5, verse 15. He said, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. He said, now remember the Lord now. Don't forget. Don't lean on your own understanding. Remember the Lord. Remember where He found you. Remember you can't do this without Him. There'll be some days in your life, there'll be some days in my life we think, well, I think I can handle this one. Right? I'm not the only one that way, am I? There'll be some times, there'll be some situations that we'll think, you know what, I think I have this. We need God. The songwriter said, I need Thee every hour. We need Him. Look at it. Chapter number 6. Look there. Chapter 6. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. See that in chapter 6, verse 12? Beware. Don't forget. Remember. Remember. We need Him. Get up every day and let Him remind you in His Word how He will never leave your side nor forsake you, how He'll guide you every step of the way. Remember. Look in chapter number 8, if you would, in verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Well, I tell you, remembering will humble you, won't it? To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Remember. Chapter 8, verse 2. Then look at chapter 8, verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. You see the theme here over and over again. Chapter 8 again, look if you would. Verse number 18. But thou shalt remember. Look at chapter 9, verse number 7. Remember and forget not. So here, Moses is saying to the children of Israel, to this new generation, he's saying, listen, don't forget. Remember. Remember. Don't forget. We're forgetful people. We're forgetful people. Isn't it amazing how, you might think less of me. I don't know. If you do, you do. God knows about this. I can walk into a Walmart or some department store or restaurant, and there can a song come on that I listened to when, I was a teenager. Back in the late 90s. No. I was a teenager, and I can remember, If I'm not careful, I'll be kind of patting my foot, and I'll be kind of lipping the words, you know. I can still remember. And yet when I'm trying to memorize Scripture, and I'm trying to pull it up in a sermon that I'm preaching, or we're quoting Scripture, it's like, you know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to remember the Word of God. But boy, you let that song start playing that just shouldn't be lipping. Sometimes we forget the things we should remember and remember the things we should forget. And God is just saying, now listen, don't forget me. I'm your helper. I'm your God. I'm your navigator. I want to help you navigate this thing called life. And I'll be there with you each step of the way. Don't forget me now. Don't go through life without me. You don't have to, right? I don't want to close with this. Let's look at this. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers. I want to give you just a couple things. And I'll just tonight, because of time, I just want to whet your appetite a little bit. All right? So we'll look at Numbers chapter number 13 and 14. Just a couple of scriptures there. This is one of my favorite passages. Back in, I think it was 2017, I preached through the book of Numbers. And I really enjoyed it. It was the second time I've ever preached through the book of Numbers. And not here, but once here and one at Faith Baptist. But I really enjoy preaching through the book of Numbers, the Old Testament books. There's great life lessons, as we've talked about. Here in chapter number 13, I'm sorry, we have the account of what we just talked about. All right? We have the account of where God says, okay, it's time to cross over. And the people came in chapter 13, and they said, you know what? We want to send some men over. And Moses said, we're going to get, you know, a man out of one of each of the tribes. So, well, you know, was that God's idea? Was that Moses' idea? Was that the people's idea? It doesn't matter. It wasn't God's idea. God allowed them to do it, just like God would allow you to sin. That's right. Now, there's consequences for it, but God will allow you to sin. Right? Yeah. And so they chose these 12 men, and you know the story, won't go through it. They came back, and when they came back, they had that report. I'm in Numbers 13. Look in verse 27. There's a great statement here that I'd like to bring to your attention. And they told him and said, we came into the land, meaning Moses. They'd gone over and had searched out the land. They came back, and this is what they said. We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In other words, everything's like God said it was. Well, of course it was. Amen. Of course it's what God said it was going to be. God can't lie. God's always right. Amen. The Word of God's never wrong, brethren. That's why we can trust Him. And they act like they were surprised. They went over to God. They said, you know what? Wonder of wonders. It does have milk and honey. Man, them grapes are big. Everything's like God said it would be. Well, sure it is. That's like us sometimes. We pray and God answers it and we act kind of shocked, you know, right? Well, God said He would answer the prayers of His people. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Right. So they came back and they said, you know what? It was like God said it was. Look at verse 28. Do you see yourself in that word? Nevertheless. It's like God said it was. But, right? Yeah. I mean, listen, this is us. We it's easy to stand on this side of the Jordan and criticize Israel, but brethren, we face some of the same difficulties. This old flesh, I tell you, this flesh just does not like to bring itself under the authority of the Word of God. And they said, nevertheless, the people be strong. Basically, what they're saying is, you know, it's all that God said that it was, but I don't know. There's some things that maybe God didn't throw in there, and maybe God's trying to keep something from us, or there's just a side of this that we don't know about, and God won't come through after all. Well, see, that's the way the flesh and the devil work. God said, go get it. As a matter of fact, look at chapter 13, verse number 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Look at this now. Which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm giving it. Maybe God said, prove them. I'm giving it. They went over and saw, and they came back and said, we can't do it. And then Caleb, this man that I want to whet your appetite a little bit here tonight, and we'll be through. Verse 30, after they said, we can't do it. We can't do it. There's giants in the land and this. And Caleb, look at verse number 30. Caleb stilled the people. Can you see him? I mean, he's giving it this. You know, oh, yeah. Quieting down, folks. Quieting down. Got a message I want to give to you. Look at verse number 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Praise God, I like that. Amen. You like that spirit? I like that spirit. God said, go get it. Let's go get it, brethren. Amen. God told us to do a work. Let's do a work, brethren. God said, build, build. God said, go, go. And God said, do it, do it. Right? Let's do it. There's no need to lag behind and run a battery of tests. If God said, do it, let's do it. Amen. Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, let's do it. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through Christ. Verse number 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Well, that may be true. But you left somebody out of the equation. See, brethren, the thing about we Christians is we have the it factor. Or should I say the he factor? God. See, we get to put God in our equation. They left him out, and it cost them. And so I'll just kind of give you something I'd like for you to take home with you. So this man Caleb, notice what the scripture says here. Look at verse number 24. God was telling him, he said, listen, you're not going to go in the land. Numbers 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 24. And I'm to get to a conclusion here, I'm leaving out some things, but you read it. You've read it before. Just reread it. It'll be good for you. Increase your faith. Verse number 24, he said, you know, y'all are not going to go in verse number 23. He said, you provoked me. You've tempted me. And he said, you're not going to go. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me, I like this, fully. You following the Lord fully? You want to be blessed? I'm not talking about 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. Listen to me. I'm not talking about half and half, 50-50. I'm talking about following the Lord fully. You want God's blessing on your life? You say, I do, preacher. I know you do. What Christian doesn't? Follow the Lord fully. Give him your all. Do what you know is right to do. He said, my servant, in verse number 24, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed, remember, his children, they're going to possess this. His good decision is going to directly impact his seed. Now, my good decisions will too, and yours will too. But now our poor ones, unfortunately, well, they have some repercussions also. So let's choose wisely. All right? It's important. It's very important. And I think there's a great lesson to be learned here. Can I tell you that there was a time? We'll close here. Turn, if you would, to Joshua. I'm just going to point it out to you. Joshua chapter 14. I want you to read this sometime. I hope you'll go home and read it tonight. Joshua said, I'm 85 years old. All right? And he said, I'm ready to fight like I was 40. He said, I want that mountain. Amen. It's good stuff. You ought to read Joshua 14. Look, if you would, in verse number 7, he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. That's 40. He said, the latter part of verse number 10, he said, now I'm 85. Now, 5 years, that's 85. He said, I'm 85. In verse number 11, he said, yet I'm as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. Amen. Amen. He said, God sure has been good to me. Are you getting what he's saying? He said, I have followed three times. Verse number 8, look at the latter part of verse number 8. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. You see, and I'm not going to bring all of this out. I just want to point this out to you. Look at the latter part of verse 8. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Look at the latter part of verse number 9. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then look at the latter part of verse number 14. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel, Joshua. What did God want us to know about Joshua? He wholly followed the Lord. He followed him fully. And God blessed him. And he said, God sure has taken good care of me. God's been good to me. Would you stand? Has God been good to you? God's been good to us all, hasn't he? God wants to bless you. I'm not going to ask you to pay me $10 so I'll sow a seed for you now. All right, that's not what this is about. This is about this book right here being sowed. God wants to bless your life. But see, God can't bless unfaithfulness. God can't bless sin. God can't bless disobedience. God can't bless unbelief. He's God. And so a lot of things that we ask God to bless, he can't. He wants to bless us, but we have to put ourselves in a position so that he can bless us. So wholly follow the Lord, and God will bless you. God loves you. He wants the very best for your life. All right? As a church, we've come a long way. But we have so much more to do. So much more. There's so many people outside these walls that need to hear the message that's in this book. Let's get out there and tell them. One day, if God be willing, we'll build across the street. We'll fill that building up. Then we'll start planting churches. Listen, there's a work to do, brethren. And it doesn't matter who's in office. If Trump comes back to office, or if Biden gets another term. Man, that was hard to say. If liberals, we've got to quit looking at those things and realize, brethren, we do our part. We do our civic duty, okay? We do our civic duty. It's a sacred duty. You ought to vote. You ought to pray for your leaders. You ought to stand for right and what's true. But at the end of the day, I'm not looking to a president. I'm looking to a king. And his name is Jesus. And I want to have the faith that I should have, that when I stand before him, I will not have to be ashamed before him. I could say, God, I did what you bid me to do by faith in your word. I trusted you, Lord. I don't want to go in unbelief, and I don't want to be weak in faith. God help me, and God help you. God help us to be Caleb, a man with a different spirit. Father, thank you for your word. God help us. You know the desire of my heart, Lord, and the desires of the hearts of your people here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Help us to be faithful to you. God help us to trust you as we should. Help us not to discourage the heart of our brethren. Help us to lift one another up, to set a good example, and to magnify the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. God, we know that we love you only because you first loved us. Help us to love you in a greater way. Help us to have more passion for your work. Help us, Lord. And I pray, God, you would lead us as we follow you, lead us alone, that we could accomplish your will for this area and around the world through world evangelism and missionary endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen.